In this new year, we're starting a new series that we've titled Big Questions, and we basically will be asking different questions each Sunday for the next couple of Sundays in this early part of the year. Today, we're going to be looking at John chapter 6, verses 60 to 69, and I'll skip a few verses just for the sake of time, but we want you to definitely look at that whole chapter, and we've titled it, What is Your Hope? What is your hope as you begin this new year together? And so, more than anything else, than trying to inspire you or lift you up by just my own stories or personal knowledge or wisdom, as lacking and limited as it is, we want to look at God's Word to answer that question. What is your hope individually, as a couple, and as a family in this new year? And we look at John chapter 6. I'll go ahead and read that for us. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense at this?" And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted him by the Father." After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, "Do you want to go away as well?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." This is God's Word. Without raising your hands or messaging me or saying it out loud, I begin with that question in today's topic. What are some things that you are placing your hope in for this new year of 2022? And I'm phrasing it like that more than what are your new year's resolutions or what do you hope to accomplish, what are your dreams, but very specifically, what things are you placing your hope in for this new year? My son James, literally almost to the day a year ago, wrote this as his dream or hope. "My dream is to end Corona so that we can be happy, H-A-P-E, and healthy, H-E-L-T-H-E, James Kim, January 15, 2021. Would any of us say that would be a pretty good hope and dream? So James, that's very prophetic, and you did a good job. And I like the way you spelled happy and healthy in particular. We all have different hopes in this coming year. We want to get healthier. We want to shed a few of the holiday pounds. We want to grow closer as a family. We want to work on a marriage. We want to get stronger financially as a family. We want to have better relationships. And like James, a lot of us, we just want this nightmare to end so that Corona will be over with. What are your hopes for this new year? The disciples in John chapter 6 had a lot of hopes and dreams of their own. They were early on in their experience and journey of giving up everything to follow this new rabbi and teacher, Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 6, here early on in their ministry, they had experienced a tremendous success, unlike anything they've ever experienced before, in the extraordinary feeding of 5,000 men, and with their wives and the other women and the children, some estimate about 20,000. 1,000 souls, people, who were fed from just a handful of loaves of bread and a few fish brought by a little boy. Right after this, in experiencing this extraordinary miracle of God's power and love and grace and Jesus' concern that people were getting hungry as he was teaching, the disciples themselves, hands-on, distributing the bread and having leftovers even because it overflowed in this great providing of Jesus to feed the hungry who were listening to him. They were sent across the Sea of Galilee to get to the other side away from the crowds so they can move on in their journey. And in the midst of an amazing storm, life-threatening storm that had hard-seasoned fishermen fearing for their lives, they had witnessed Jesus showing his power and lordship over all creation by walking on water to the boat. Amazing. Extraordinary. How many of us, if we were to experience even half of what the disciples just experienced in John chapter 6, would say, if I could only see something like that, my faith would be strong. I'll never turn my back on God again. I'll follow him. I'll become a pastor, a mission. I'll do anything if I were to able to see that miracle. It was not just the 12, but multitudes experienced this miracle. And Jesus didn't end it with just that. But notice as we continue on in our passage, verse 56, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. Jesus, we gathered thousands. You taught them well. You fed them till their bellies were full of delicious heavenly bread and fish. They'll follow you anywhere to the ends of the world. Our movement is taking off. You're going to be the next king. Life is going to be good. We can't wait. And Jesus ruins it all by saying, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me. In verse 66, what happens? After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. Jesus, why did you have to ruin this? This was a fulfillment of our hopes to be something in this life, to be part of a movement, to be part of something significant and successful. This would put me on the roadmap to being something in my life than just an ordinary fisherman. But scores left him who were disciples following Jesus. And for the 12 disciples, all their expectations, dreams, and hopes of being part of something successful and meaningful, being part of a winning team instead of losing, they were devastated. Everyone left. Everything that seemed to point to success and a very good year for these guys looked like an utter failure. Think about it. After Jesus said the statement, you have to eat my flesh, drink my blood, people said, what in the world is he talking about? They all abandoned him. It looked like utter failure. It's at this point that the disciples needed an indomitable hope. A hope that would not fail them, even when the worst tragedies and disappointments would come their way. I believe, first of all, that we cannot live apart from hope. All of us as human beings need an indomitable hope in our lives. And that's why as we begin this year, I'm asking you, what are you placing your hope in for 2022? Why do we need a hope that is dependable, that is indomitable? Well, life is hard, very hard. We are all secondly flawed and deeply broken, no matter how gifted, smart, and accomplished you are. I often don't get it right. I don't do what is right. And sometimes I'm not even sure what is right. We need an indomitable hope in our lives because not only is life hard, not only are we flawed and broken and we mess up all the time, but because what we often place our hopes in often fails us. We walk around with great disappointment in the things that we had put our hope in, and we are often very disillusioned. I believe God has created us as human beings to live with hope in our hearts. To hope is to be truly human. I came across a fascinating blog post of a physician working at Yale New Haven Hospital, Prane Sinha. And he reflected on this, and he wrote this: poverty screams the New York Times. Terrorism disclaims the Washington Post. Racism exclaims USA Today. Headlines, he reflected, get shoutier and shoutier every day. And when you look at my Facebook feed, it seems like the dark age is upon us. But something unusual happens every year around Christmas. The Facebook updates begin to teem with hope, optimism, determination, the offer constant dire predictions for the end. Can't rob us of the conviction that the world in general and our lives can be better. If we only just try a little bit more, the reset button is begging to be pushed, even when life is harder, and by gosh, we will push it. We have been created to live with hope. Andreas Kraft, in a study of 1,400 people from the Czech Republic between the ages of 15 and 80, were surveyed, and the results found that the more hopeful people were in their lives, the more satisfied they were, they maintained a higher quality of interpersonal relationships, and were physically even healthier. If hope dies in your heart, it will devastate you. To be human is to hope. But this morning, as we think about the situation of the disciples here in John chapter 6, and the disciples who all abandoned Jesus, we realize, secondly, that most of the things that we place our hope in are conditional hope. They're conditional. Things that functionally give us hope in our lives, to get us out of bed, to work hard, to study hard, to play hard, to pray hard, often are our functional hope until they are no longer our hope. For some of you remember that great movie, Forrest Gump, right? And you remember when many left to follow him, he one day stopped running. I'm pretty tired. Think I'll go home now. You guys remember that line? And all the people that were gathered and started running with him across the country, who put their hope in Forrest, all of them said, now what are we supposed to do? You remember that? Now what are we supposed to do? I think in so many ways, even as followers of Jesus, functionally, we may not voice it, we may not even say it or think it, but we place our hope in things that are very conditional. They are our functional hope until they're not. I'm pretty tired. Think I'll go home now. Now what are we supposed to do? Verse 66, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. You see, from the nearly 20,000 people that were gathered, Jesus was a conditional hope for them. To many who professed to follow him. I'll follow Jesus. I'll embrace church and do this religious Christian thing. As long as my kids turn out happy, healthy, morally right, and successful. I'll follow Jesus as long as my physical needs are met. Bread and fish, unlimited buffet. Oh yeah, I'm there. I'll follow you, Jesus. If you continue to tickle and entertain and wow me, I'll continue to follow you. As long as Jesus, I don't have to really engage my heart and my mind and my entire being to something as crazy as whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. As long as I don't have to get that serious about who you are, I'll follow you. As long as it is a popular thing, a thing that grants me esteem and respect, I feel good about myself, others look at me in a positive light, I'll follow you. But true biblical faith only becomes genuine when Jesus becomes the hope above all hopes in our lives. That is true faith. When Jesus is not a conditional hope for our lives, when things get hard, when the pandemic takes away so much, when we are struggling to make ends meet, when things did not turn out well for myself, my marriage, my loved ones, my children, my grandchildren, and the list goes on and on. Is Jesus a conditional hope for you in your life? It is only when he becomes the hope above all hopes is there genuine faith. So thirdly and finally this morning, true faith is knowing that Jesus is our indomitable hope. So Jesus turned to the 12, verse 67. Do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. Indomitable hope. Did Peter and the other remaining 12 fully understand what Jesus was talking about when he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood? Did they fully understand? No. Did Peter know about his future and what awaited him in his own life? His trials? His disappointments? That he, according to church tradition, would be crucified upside down on a cross? No. Did he know about all the uncertainties that would come his way as a follower of Jesus? Absolutely not. But did Peter and the remaining disciples know from the depths of their being that Jesus could be fully trusted, fully loved, and depended upon when everything else in their lives would scream failure, heartbreak, implosion, disappointment? Yes, yes, yes. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus was their indomitable hope above all hopes. He was not a conditional hope, unlike so many other things that we place our hope in. John Piper says this, Peter said, Lord, wherever we look for another Lord, another way, another friend, another philosophy, another view of God, another salvation, another meaning, they all come up short. We can't walk away. You have the words of life. Where shall we go? Where shall we go? And so this morning, very simply, as we ask ourselves this question in the early part of the year, where or what gives you hope? Functional hope, real hope that you live by, not just profess. When things come crashing down in your life, do we find the indomitable hope of the one who has the words of eternal life? Not just getting to heaven, but the words of life that transform our lives today in the here and now. And like Peter, though he didn't understand why crowds left, while failure seemed at hand, disappointment, and yet he cried out, where are we going to go? Who else shall we turn to? You have the words of eternal life. John Ortberg, Christian author and pastor, reminds us sometimes when all the props and crutches in your life gets stripped away and you find you only have God left, you discover that God is enough. You discover that he actually is your indomitable hope. Jesus is the only hope that we will discover that will never, ever disappoint. He is our indomitable hope. And like Edward Moe, who penned these words as I end, 1863, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Church, friends, what is your hope? As you begin 2022, may it be the indomitable hope that can never be overcome in our lives. May we get to that point where when things do come crashing down, that we turn to the one with open arms and a conviction. Where else are we going to go? Who else can we turn to? You have the word. Gracious Father, we thank you for being the one that speaks to us in a time that we definitely need hope. And Lord, if we are honest with ourselves, we do place our functional hope, the hope that we actually live our lives by, in so many other things that ultimately will fail us, will disappoint us, will leave us questioning, where else am I supposed to go and do? But we thank you today, Lord, that you do remind us, even in the midst of all that is going on at this time and place in our lives, we want to confess together that you are our hope. Lord, if there's anyone here listening today who has never made that profession, I want to invite you to make this opportunity, take advantage of it, and pray with me. Jesus, I confess that I have placed my hope in myself, my circumstances, and many other things in this life. But today, I want to place my hope in the one who is the one that gives us the words of eternal life. I receive you. I want to follow you. Become my indomitable hope in this life. Lord, teach us to live like that and discover that truth, Father, as the disciples did. To whom and where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. In the midst of all the hopes and dreams that we have for this new year, may Jesus be the foundational hope of our lives as we continue to move forward through these times and challenges. Thank you, Jesus, that we can fully place our trust in you. In your name we pray.